AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today is Wednesday, December the 3rd, 2025. And I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning to you.
We all four be in studio today. You judging me on my English?
No.
You smirk when
not.
I said we be.
I smirked. Just call me Mr. Smirk.
It did come off as one word, though, because you're from Mississippi, 4B. That's all I heard.
4B.
We all be in studio.
Yeah. We all be in studio. Well, I don't like the judgment I'm feeling right now.
One syllable.
I wanted to go with whatever I wanted to say there.
Absolutely.
So Wednesday, December the 3rd, I'm saying that we all four are right in studio today. Ray Pritchard, who's sometimes with us, is in other parts of the country.
He's not in other parts of the country. He's in Florida.
I know.
Enjoying the warm weather.
He's in one part of the country.
Yeah.
While his real home back in Kansas City is
snowed over.
Freezing. All right, so but Brother Ray will be with us tomorrow. He's with us usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And again, we thank you for listening. Wesley, if folks want to join us on what Ed calls that their internet, how can they do that?
I would encourage people, and yes, Dad, I would encourage people to go to afr.net. That's where you can listen 24/7, regardless of how close you are to one of our tower sites. You can listen to AFR.net. There you can also download our podcast. You can listen live. We have actually two networks on AFR.net. We have our music network, and then we have what you're listening to now, our talk network. So go to AFR.net. You can also go to Facebook, Today's Issues Live on Facebook, and go to our YouTube. I believe YouTube. We're not banned there. Nope. Go to YouTube. Go to Today's Issues Live on YouTube. But again, I know we have those platforms and we use them because they're available, but going to our own streaming, stream.afa.net is our own streaming platform. So stream.afa.net.
And the app.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
American. The app, as you say, was a game changer.
Yeah.
So whatever kind of phone you use, you have an app store of some sort. Download the AFR app. You can listen anywhere. Yeah. There's a good signal.
Yeah, we won't get into which phones are better, right?
Right.
I know people have their preferences. You got two. You got Androids. You got Apples. But everybody's got an app store.
Yes, there's some way to access an app for your phone, unless you've got a dumb phone.
That's right.
If you've got a dumb phone, there's nothing you can do to change that.
Can't change that.
But for you who have a smartphone,
all right,
you know,
get your dumb phone.
Remember, that's all. It used to be that's all there was.
Yeah, dumb phones.
Yeah, even when we had mobile phones.
Remember the first mobile phones? I don't know if Wesley does.
I do.
Do you?
Well, they weren't before that. They were in the car. They were car phones.
Yeah, car phones, the big car phones, you know, down
yep.
there.
And you'd like Magnum PI, he had one.
Yeah, I remember.
Tom Selleck.
I remember driving for the first time with one of those in there, and I just called people just for fun.
That's right, yeah.
Just well, to you say, know, hey, can you believe we're doing this?
Yeah.
We're talking
$5
about,
a minute
I'm driving
or
around
whatever.
Atlanta.
That's right,
talking to you on the phone. I got a phone in my car.
You know what I used to do in this? I've embarrassed my wife so many different ways over the years. We've been married 44 years. But when Tom Selleck, the actor, played on Magnum P.I., his fast, sporty car. He had a car phone.
Yeah.
And so I would take one of the kids. You remember the little play phone that you'd get for little kids? And I would bring, I'd bring it with us on a trip. It was plastic. And I would put it in between our seats, and I would every once in a while raise that phone.
Magna P.I.?
Yeah, like Magna P.I. and pretend I was talking. My wife, she was constantly embarrassed by things I would do.
Yeah, your wife said, what have I done?
And we'd be driving in a Subaru hatchback. Yeah, you got a car phone, dude, sure.
Yeah, but we had car phones, and then they went to the cell phones, but they were really small black and white screen, or black
little
and
flip
gray.
Flip phones, too.
Oh, well, yeah, flip phones.
Flip phones.
Then there were the shoe phones.
Yep, shoe phones.
Remember those?
Yep.
Weighed a ton.
Oh, yeah, weighed.
Yeah, try and put that on your
by
belt.
That but, much.
Yeah.
Those kind of shoe phones.
I remember.
All right, Fred, what's our first news story here we got?
Well, Republicans in Tennessee and in parts of Washington, D.C. are celebrating a little bit today.
Are they celebrating?
They're celebrating.
Yeah.
Because there was a special election in the District 7 of Tennessee yesterday for a House seat. And the Republican Matt Von Epps won that race. It became a national story because of the Democrat who was running there, Afton Ben, quite a character. Of course, Tennessee, Nashville, the home of country music. Some old audio of her came back to haunt her a little bit. She said she hated country music, didn't like Nashville at all. But she overcame that by saying, I'm in this race, really, because of affordability. That is the new buzzword for the Democratic Party. But Republican Matt Von Epps did come out on top last night. Here's a little bit of what he had to say in his victory speech, cut number one.
Tonight, you've sent a message loud and clear. The people of Middle Tennessee stand with President Donald J. Trump. And stood firmly behind our campaign. As we look forward, I say this to my friends in the liberal media and to the professional panickers in my own party. Tonight we showed running from Trump is how you lose. Running with Trump is how you win.
So there you have it. Yes, President Trump by phone did some campaigning for Von Epps. House Speaker Johnson was in Tennessee to help out. There was some concern given the polls during the campaign, had the two candidates really close, despite the fact that President Trump in last year's election won it by 22-point margin. It was a safe seat for the Republicans.
Well, it still is.
And it is.
The Van Epps, the winner last night, he won by 9 points.
9 points, yeah.
Now, he didn't win by 22.
Yes.
But when you got, I don't know if it's a little bit apples and oranges to me, because Trump was facing the worst candidate in the history of presidential politics, okay, in Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Word salad
Harris. I mean, you got a red district. He's gonna blow her out of the water. This kind of situation right here, 9 points is still a big win. You know, the party out of power, that is the party opposite the president, in this case a Republican, Donald Trump, usually gains seats in the midterms. Now, this is not the midterms yet. That's next year. But still, so this is not unusual historically for the party out of power to show up better in races and polls and so forth. But I don't know. It's kind of embarrassing to me for somebody to have predicted a 2-point win, whoever that was. I read that somewhere. And then the guy wins by 9. Again, it's not 22, but that's a safe margin of victory. You have any comments on this, Ed?
I would say this. Everything you said is true about the off-year election. And that is going to lower the margin of victory somewhat, that it's not a presidential year. However, I would caution Ed. I would caution.
Okay. I'm going to help you out there. You caution us, Ed.
I think affordability is a potentially winning argument on the part of the Democrats.
Okay.
Because here with Trump, basically all Democrats have had to run on is, we're not Trump. We don't like Trump. We hate Trump. Come on out and vote for a Democrat. Okay? That's not much of a message. But affordability, unless there's a turnaround or a greater improvement in the economy, there are some good signs in the economy. Mm-hmm. But until people feel it kind of at the kitchen table, I think affordability is going to be a difficult argument to combat on the part of Republicans who, like Matt Van Epps, are going to want to stay loyal to Donald Trump because he's still pretty popular with the Republican base. So that's my only caution. Like you said, they're probably going to wind up losing seats anyway because it's a midterm. But you don't want to give that argument momentum if our economy does not improve before 2028.
We'll see.
So
you disagree with Brother Ed?
Well,
I still think you're a good person if you do. Yeah,
okay. I agree with Brother Ed that from a strategy standpoint for the Democrats, that would be a really good language to use, but it would not hold up in a debate if two good candidates debated it, because the Democrats had 4 years and only made things worse.
That's true.
Economically for everybody. And so if evidence... that would hurt, but because of the current situation, from a strategist standpoint, using that language does draw people to want to listen to and or do something, anything different. And we're mostly talking about mushy middles or moderate people. We know those that are far left stay left. Most everybody that's on the right stays right. But if you're trying to persuade and get more votes out for your candidate and the left to potentially upset or win an election, it's going to come. I think that would be as better than the other things they've been trying.
Right.
As far as politically strategizing, saying that men should be in women's sports is just not working.
Or that we should have the border, southern border, wide open.
Because at least in this category, they leave it up for debate on how we're going to go about it.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So
excellent.
And it'd be socialism.
Point.
Yeah, appreciate that. So I do agree with you.
And I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for the if I can get a candidate, just say free stuff for Tim. You know?
Yeah.
I'm willing to listen to that an appeal to me as a voter.
Right.
Yeah. Free stuff for Tim. I'll listen to you.
Thank you. That's my point.
Okay, yeah.
Or one of my points.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. So Fred, good news for the Republicans in Tennessee yesterday. They have a very thin margin in the House, right? Like four or five, six votes?
And that's why you're seeing a lot of Republican states redistricting and trying to pick up some more safe Republican seats in various states. But you guys were talking about this affordability issue.
Yeah.
Well, Trump has a plan. He had a cabinet meeting yesterday, his ninth cabinet meeting since he came into office in January. I think Biden had not anywhere close to that over 4 years. Anyway, Trump made some news yesterday by talking about affordability.
Frank's
he ready. Plans the American people to give American people a whole lot of money. Cut number four.
We've only just begun striking narco boats and putting narco terrorists at the bottom of the ocean because they've been poisoning the American people.
Trump's voice has changed. Trump's voice has changed with age. Have y'all noticed this?
Yes, that was my mistake.
We're going to get
there. That was my mistake.
That's Pete Hegseth.
Let's go to cut number nine.
Trillions of dollars get paid to drug companies, and you still have lousy health care. Obamacare's horrible health care. We want it to go to the people, and then let the people go out and buy their own health care, and they'll do great.
Yeah, so he's talking about that. He's talking about people getting more of their tax dollars back. He's talking about tariff bonuses. You know, we're making, according to the president, we're making trillions of dollars on tariffs, and we're going to give the American people some of that dough?
Well, that's just what I said. Free stuff for Tim. I'm listening to you. You give me a tariff.
So they're thinking, I think, about next year if people are getting a break in income tax.
Yeah.
And he even hinted at there may be a day when we're not paying any income tax at all, that things will be so good that American people won't have to pay income tax.
What are you smoking?
I'm just quoting. I ain't smoking. Okay. I'm just quoting.
It sounds like we're discussing socialism, and we need to bring our expert.
We have
in.
A socialist. You want to introduce him?
Well, we are going to introduce Dr. Frank Turek. I don't think it's fair to say he's a socialist. He is probably as much of an expert on the subject of socialism as we typically have. He's host of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Maybe you should call it, I don't
right
have
here
enough,
on AFR.
Enough faith to be a socialist. Heard Saturdays at 9 a.m. Central Time and again Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Frank, welcome back.
I don't have enough faith to be an atheist or a socialist. Let me ask you a question, Ed. How many caravans are going from the United States to Venezuela?
That's exactly.
Mic drop.
Yep. Or any other of the other socialist experiments.
How many people are getting on boats to risk their lives in shark infested waters to go from Miami to Havana?
Yeah, it's not happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, how you doing, Brother Frank?
I'm doing all right. You know, we got Christmas coming up. That's always a good time of year.
Amen.
But I think I have the cure for leftism.
Okay.
If people were rational about it.
All right.
And one is the statement we just talked about. Why are there no caravans going to Venezuela? But secondly, I just, you know, a month or so ago got back from a trip to Jordan, Israel, and Egypt. And have I ever told you guys what the average monthly salary of an Egyptian worker is?
Huh.
What do you think it is?
In dollars?
Dollars.
Average monthly salary of an Egyptian worker in American dollars?
$600? $500?
I'm going to say monthly, I'll say $100.
I'll say it.
Let's average it. It's $303.
Yeah.
A month?
Average.
A month.
For a worker in Egypt.
Average worker in Egypt, $303 per month. And the average worker in America makes almost that in a day.
But Frank, what's the average cost of falafel in Egypt?
Well, actually, our buying power is about six times that of the average Egyptian.
Oh, wow. Well, that's the key. That's the key metric, isn't it?
What's a new camel going to run you? That's bad. I was thinking about that joke. That was a bad joke, but because not all Egyptians.
Let's get over the hump and move on to something else.
Boom. But your point being,
my point being is that if you want a cure for people who think this country is a bad country, go to some second and third world countries.
Gotcha.
That do not have the same free enterprise system that we have. I enjoyed my time in Egypt. There's so many great sights to see. But economically, it is a very poor country.
All right. Well, let me play devil's advocate here, okay? Not because I believe any of the garbage I'm about to say, okay? But this is what you're going to hear in America from college-educated students.
That's their first mistake.
With their IQ just continuing to soar, okay? This is what you are going to hear from a lot of young people. Frank, you picked Egypt as the example. I want to pick Scandinavian countries where you get all kinds of free stuff and great health care. What would you say to people who say, that's the kind of socialist country? You guys always pick Venezuela and Cuba, run by wackos. I want to point to these kinds of socialist countries. What would you say?
All right, how many people do you know who go to Sweden for an operation?
I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know anybody.
You don't. Okay. Not only that, but Sweden is about the size of one of our states.
Right.
Okay. And they don't really have to spend a lot of money on a defense. Who does that for them?
The United States of America.
We do, okay? Also, Sweden does have a private economy. Maybe not as robust as ours, but certainly more robust than Egypt. Okay, so there are so many differences. Also, they basically, until immigration, had a pretty homogeneous population. Now, immigration is causing them trouble as well. So, and fourthly, they're all living off the vapor of Christianity. They are originally a Christian country, and Christianity presupposes private property. Thou shalt not steal presupposes private property. Okay? Do not show favoritism to the rich or the poor presupposes private property. So the two are not analogous. It is still a free market society in Sweden, but they have some advantages we don't have here. They don't have to pay for their own defense. They're very small. A country like Norway, by the way, has enormous oil resources.
Right.
They don't have to do much. They can just sell their oil and have these great socialist programs that everybody thinks here we can have, when in fact we're what, $36 trillion in debt?
Well,
I don't
and
think
none
President
of those
Trump ought to give any tariff money to anybody. It ought to go to pay down the national debt.
Yeah, I agree.
None of those countries, which we call Scandinavia, Norway, Sweden, et cetera, Denmark, they don't even identify themselves as socialist countries. I don't remember, the prime minister of one of those countries said, "We're not a socialist country. We're capitalist." Mm-hmm. I mean, they have a lot of businesses. Some corporations run out of them that are worldwide in scope. They do tax a lot and have programs that is sometimes considered to be socialist, but they don't even identify as socialist countries. So when young people, college kids say, "Yeah, I want a socialist country like that," they don't identify as socialist. They're capitalist countries.
Here's another question to ask people. When was the last time you washed a rental car?
Oh, when was the last time you washed one?
Yeah. You never wash a rental car because
no.
It's not yours. You don't
no.
care.
Right.
Right? And when you don't have private property, you tend not to care about it as much. You're not as motivated to take care of something that isn't yours. This is why private housing is nearly always in better shape than public housing. If people have the capacity in a system to keep the fruits of their own labor, A, they're more incentivized to work harder, and B, if they have that private property, they'll take care of it more.
Yeah.
And you don't have that in a socialist society. I mean, socialism not only failed to produce freedom, it failed to produce food.
Right, that's right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. How about William Bradford when he came over here with the Pilgrims? The first year they tried to do a socialist kind of economy where everybody's just going to chip in and take care of the farm together, and half of them starved. Then the next winter he said, okay, every family's going to get their own plot. And then they had more food than they knew what to do with because people were motivated. Socialism misunderstands human nature. It thinks that people are going to work as hard as they can and take as little as they need. In reality, people will work as little as they can and take as much as they can get. If
yeah.
you have the ability, though, to work hard and keep the fruits of your own labor, you're going to do that, and that's going to benefit everybody. Because if everybody does that, then you can exchange the goods that you create and you can prosper. The fastest way to get people out of poverty is with capitalism, not socialism. Socialism never works. It misunderstands human nature.
The Pilgrims tried socialism.
Right. Yes, William Bradford. Yep. That's exactly
right. It
didn't
work. And next year he said, "We're nixing this."
we're gonna do what the Bible says. If a man doesn't work,
he doesn't
should eat.
That's right.
right. I think he was also noted for his comment, "Quit whining."
Quit whining and get to work.
William Bradford said, "Quit whining." Can you hang on through the break for another minute or two?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Dr. Frank Turek joining us from the Tar Heel State, the great state of North Carolina. Fred Jackson, Tim Wildman, Evie Tagliano, Wesley Wildman, we'll all be back in just about 3 minutes or so.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call pound 250 and say baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, Saturday mornings right here on American Family Radio at 9 a.m. Central Time, we have Dr. Frank Turek's show, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And you want to tune in for that. All the shows on Saturday morning are excellent, but Frank's quite educational and will help you in your...
Very popular.
Yes. So join Frank for I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist right here on this station, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock Central Time.
And it reruns Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time.
Yes.
On American Family Radio.
Right now you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network with Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Our guest is the aforementioned Frank Turek, joining us from North Carolina. You had, Fred, you had a question. We've been talking about socialism and why it's socialism is antithetical to biblical principles. That's what Frank says. Mm-hmm. And Frank, am I misinterpreting what you said there?
No, that's okay. The case. It presupposes okay. Private property, the Bible does.
Okay. Now, go ahead, Fred. You wanted to ask?
I wanted to ask you, Frank, a little bit about Venezuela. And in particular, over the last couple of days, there's been some controversy in the media about an incident involves the shooting at one of these drug-running boats coming out of Venezuela. And the controversy has been apparently in an incident back several weeks ago. There were survivors from the first missile that hit the boat, and another missile was fired to take out those survivors. Now, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth was asked about this yesterday during a full cabinet meeting at the White House, and this is what he had to say, cut number three.
Admiral Bradley made the correct decision to ultimately sink the boat and eliminate the threat. He sunk the boat, and eliminated the threat. And he was the right call. We have his back.
I want those boats taken out. And if we have to, we'll attack on land also, just like we attack on sea. We're saving hundreds of thousands of lives with those pinpoint attacks.
So the question seems to be, Frank, is this second missile taking out the survivors? Some people, some Republicans and Democrats, are taking issue with that. What say you?
Yeah. Well, typically you don't fire on survivors. I don't know the details of the case, but if that is indeed the case, and they were survivors and they were helpless in the water, typically you don't fire on them, you rescue them and, you know, take them prisoner, you know, in a conflict. But I don't know all the details of the case. Was the boat still underway and they fired a second missile to take out the boat and it took out the survivors too? I don't know.
Yeah,
Fred,
the picture that we're left with is the survivors that were in the water. That's the picture
right.
We're left with.
That the boat was destroyed.
Yes.
Okay, but was the boat destroyed by the first missile or the second missile? And when they fired the first of all, you're probably not going to be able to fire a missile at individuals in the water. Usually they're, you know, you're targeting an object. So unless it was laser guided and they knew where the victims were, I don't know the details, but
right.
if the second missile was to take out a boat because it was still underway and that also happened to take out survivors, okay, that's different than if they're just firing on survivors.
Right. Okay. Yeah. No, that is going to be the subject apparently of a hearing,
right?
Because what Hegseth said yesterday is that he saw the first strike. And then he left the room to go to another meeting. But he trusts the judgment of the man who is in charge, Navy Vice Admiral Frank Mitch Bradley. And Hegseth says Bradley made the right call in sending in that second missile. That's where we are. But it's going to be the subject of a hearing.
They were also trying to destroy as much of the drugs as possible. And there was drugs still floating. So, as Frank said, let me just say this. I've never the United any country has the right to eliminate terrorists that are trying to terrorize their country. I could keep going there, but I don't understand if there's a terrorist who's trying to terrorize your country,
well,
you eliminate. I don't understand.
It depends on how you define terrorism.
What? Yeah.
And I'm not saying that what President Trump and would say his administration, Pete Hegseth, that we're fighting narco-terrorism.
Right.
And that's not a new word, right, Ed? I mean, that's been used before.
Yeah, it has. Go ahead.
Let me just say this. It becomes a little less. It becomes a little more ambiguous in my mind. The righteousness of the cause, as opposed to somebody wanting to fire a nuclear weapon at the U.S., maybe,
well, sure,
like Iran, okay? Because the reason I say that, again, I'm just saying it becomes a little bit cloudy in my judgment about, okay, so we're going to use the United States military to go to war with the drug cartels, okay?
Well, they already came to war to us when the drugs from those countries killed over 100,000 Americans last year.
Well, and I'm not saying you're wrong.
I know. I'm just,
that's how the people who would be for firing missiles at boats,
eliminating the drugs.
That's what they would say. Just sure. What you just said, and I don't know. I tend to lean in your direction, but I don't. There's a part of me that's going, we're just boats are skipping across. What do we really know for sure that these are?
Yes, we do.
Okay,
let's answer that now.
Do you have the intel?
Yeah, I'm certain that the Trump administration
you trust
is
them.
Not.
Okay,
yes.
You trust them. All right, yes. Go ahead. Anyway, anything more to discuss on this?
Well, I do, but I'm gonna let Frank
go ahead, Frank.
Since we got him hanging.
I would say. What would be the reason the Trump administration was risking political capital on destroying, say, pleasure boats, not drug boats, coming from Venezuela? It would seem that they really believe that these are boats that are running drugs, and when they hit these things with weapons, the drugs are revealed.
I got you. Again, I'm not saying I'm opposed to it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not the traditional way we use our military.
No. Well, the Coast Guard, yes. And the Navy has been involved in drug interdiction.
The Coast Guard doesn't blow boats out of the water.
No. Well, it can.
It can, but it doesn't. They tell people to stop or they arrest them, and maybe they get into a gunfight.
Yeah.
But we've never seen these.
But this eliminates the possibility.
Smart bombs.
Yeah, this eliminates the possibility of losing a soldier.
Yeah, Navy for years has been involved in drug interdiction,
gotcha,
particularly in the Florida area.
Okay,
it's so less efficient.
Fred, go ahead, Ed. What do you think?
I'm against it. Mm-hmm. I'm against blowing up these boats. And now, listen, this is part of the discussion, and Americans are having this discussion.
And you're weak. You are weak, weak, weak.
To me...
Well, he's from Boston.
Boy, you guys just turned nasty all of a sudden. Okay, see, so let me start from the beginning, okay? Drugs are coming to this country because Americans want drugs. Okay, they're not airdropping drugs at schools. I'm not excusing the drug trade. I'm saying it is a criminal act for drug traffickers to provide drugs to Americans who want them or are addicted to them. Okay, so to me, this is a criminal enterprise. Until they fire on the Coast Guard or until they fire on DEA agents, this is a criminal enterprise, and we should have continued doing what we've always done, and that is arrest the people with the coming into the try to get to the country. This is in international waters. These aren't people landing their boats off the coast of Florida. This is in international waters. Yes, the Trump administration says they have proof these are drug traffickers. Fine, then arrest them. And now, if, and I know there are people saying they're killing, and Wesley said 100,000 people a year. Yeah, this it
well,
is.
Well, that's just the beginning of it.
It's a disaster. But are we going to say any criminal act can be dealt with outside the judicial system with military force?
Go ahead. That all presidents who have used drones to take out people who have not yet attacked us.
Well, not if they are part of enemy combatants or terrorist groups who have promised to eliminate America. I mean,
well,
I don't.
The cartels have promised that they're going to keep bringing drugs here. Is it wrong for the military to use drones to take out
a drug lord,
suspected terrorists?
Hey, I'm telling you, I understand what it is. I'm kind of caught in the middle here. Listen, it's different. Ed's talking about criminal.
Yeah, this is a criminal enterprise, which is
a law enforcement.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
We don't use the Marines to enforce our laws. Okay, so. When you're talking about taking out boats out in the middle of the Gulf of America,
yeah,
and using the military for that reason.
Well, Frank, let me ask you this. Human traffickers, they're bringing girls, let's say they're bringing girls into this country.
That's part of this, too.
For prostitution. You think we should be able to just shoot them?
If they're crossing the border... And illegally, if it's an invasion, there could be a case made for that. Yeah,
no, out in the middle of the Gulf. That's what he's talking about.
Well, I wouldn't say that because you don't want to kill the girls.
Right, right.
But let's say they're cross. What I'm saying is this is the potential for ever expanding death penalty.
Okay? Oh, it is.
Yeah. So they're coming across. You mm-hmm. catch them. They've got a bunch of girls, and you say these your kids. No, we're trafficking. You shoot them.
Well,
And I'm saying...
I mean, if you can arrest them, you can, but it's in an apprehension, force is authorized, okay? If they're trying to escape, and what if these boats, suppose they get into U.S. waters, and they ignore warnings, turn back, or you'll be shot, and they keep coming.
That's all different.
Yeah, that's
not
a
what
warning.
We're dealing with here.
They get a warning, and you're going to be arrested.
Yeah,
here's is there a warning on these boats?
Well, yes, there is a warning. Okay. The warning was about two months ago
okay.
when the first boat came over and the first boat got shot. That's the warning. You don't come back. You don't come back across over here.
By gosh.
Or you die.
Or you die. I mean, and they keep coming.
I agree.
That's the warning.
It is a difficult situation, but let's suppose one of these boats is coming loaded with explosives. It's a terrorist boat. Allow them to get to shore
before we arrest them? That is not what I'm talking about. No.
Well, I'm just...
Yeah.
They're trying to what-if you here.
I know.
What I'm pointing out here is that Every country has a right to protect its borders.
Absolutely.
And if there is a threat coming to the border,
100%.
And that threat is repeatedly warned to stop and they don't, you have authorization to use lethal force to
stop
them.
So you're in favor of us invading Venezuela? Okay? No, listen. That's what I'm saying.
Logic.
I'm trying to use the same logic that I'm hearing. And by the way, I still love everybody. I just want everyone to know. Okay. I still love everybody.
I love you too.
I'm Switzerland here. I'm neutral.
But if you're going to say you're bringing bad stuff into our country and it's killing Americans,
therefore stop
or we're going to kill you, then you have to also include the possibility that we invade Venezuela because that's where the drugs are starting.
No, we don't have to invade Venezuela to stop them from sending stuff here. We can just stop them from sending stuff here.
But you could.
Okay. Well, you could, but why?
Excuse me, fellas.
Cut the root out.
You ever seen a dog? And he has his tail behind him. And he turns around and it ain't there. And then he looks around and trying to find his tail, and he flips around again. And
no, but
there.
I'd pay to see that.
We have entered that toxic show zone.
Listen, it's called deterrence.
Okay.
Ed, we still love you, but just remember the next time the phone doesn't ring, it's me.
That's right.
All right. Thank you. All right, Frank, what's coming up this weekend on your show here?
We have the great Katie Faust on, who also has a program on the American Family Radio Network. We're going to talk about us before them. Actually, it's them before us, meaning that as parents, we should put our kids before our own desires, particularly when it comes to marriage. So many parents tragically get divorced, and the kids have to pay the price for that. So we're going to talk about the fact that them before us is how we ought to live our lives, particularly because it also lines up with what the Bible says.
All right, that's coming up Saturday, people, right here on this network. Station you're listening to, or our AFR app. It's called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist with our guest right now, Dr. Frank Turek. So join Frank at 9 o'clock Central Time on
Saturday.
And
loads of great stuff
and
on
Sunday afternoon,
podcast.
As you said, at 4 o'clock Central Time, we re-air Frank's show. Thanks, Frank. Take care.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
See ya. Yes, sir.
Just get one more.
No, Wesley's got to get the last word in. That's what I raised him to.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
In fact, in all seriousness, I'll make this comment, and then y'all can get the last word in. Okay.
All right.
But I would say there is a case to be made, and there has been cases to be made for United States of America to use military force in other countries, boots on the ground, to take out a terrorist. Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree with you.
I know. I'm going to let you finish. Let me just finish,
okay.
Then you go.
Okay, go.
But so when I was just making the only reason I even made that statement is because Ed mentioned about should we then go into another country and blah, blah. Well, yeah, I think there's always a case to be made to go boots on the ground to eliminate a terrorist, which I agree with the Trump administration and the White House website about this group being a narco-terrorist group.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, again, it goes back to what we define as terrorist, and really it may be a matter of degrees. Because I would say this. If you're talking about, for example, Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, you're talking about people who make conscious decisions to attack Americans. We have to kill them.
That's part of this.
Okay?
Thing.
Yeah. This thing down here are drugs. Drugs aren't personalities. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now I know you have people running the drugs, which are the people we're killing when we hit these boats. I will say this. It seems to me like if you want to have a deterrent, it's got to be going through the minds of the drug cartels, even though it's an extremely lucrative business. That is getting people addicted to drugs and potentially killing them, which is evil and demonic and hellish. But if you want to say, okay, sign up to work for the cartels, who wants to get on this boat? This boat's going to Fort Lauderdale. Then you're going to say, well, I know what happened to the last three boats that went to, Corpus Christi or New Orleans, or they got blown out of the water. do I really want to risk my life?
Most of them don't have choices. A lot of them don't have a choice. They're going to do it anyways. I think the bigger issue is the drug dealers saying,
don't have a choice?
What I'm saying is the drug dealers usually, if that was the case, I don't think that's the biggest concern for the drug dealers. The biggest concern would be the money lost, not the life lost.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about the guys who get on the boat.
Yeah.
And maybe they're going to be able to start running boats without people on them. That's coming, too, probably. They're trying. Anyway.
That was fun.
I will say I will say this. One of the issues that needs to be said here is we all can appreciate President Trump and his administration's desire to stop the flow of drugs that are killing our citizens coming into our country.
Can we all agree with that? Yeah.
Okay.
It is a scourge.
It is
destroying lives, families, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I do applaud that.
Amen.
Because the Biden administration sure wasn't.
Right. Hey, let me mention this, and then, Fred, we can go on to the next news story. Fred, you still with us over there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Grinning ear to ear.
My job is just to throw an item out.
Right, right.
It's called a hand grenade.
like throwing the little food in and watch the fish go after it.
That's right. That's it. Can I just sit back and enjoy it?
Yeah, okay. Let me just say, on a positive note, on a good-feeling note, we have some wonderful historical tours scheduled for 2026. I need to talk to you about going to Boston.
I won't go to Boston. Count me in.
All right.
In the springtime.
In September. We're not September. Going in.
There's a song.
Please come to Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah. Please come to Boston. Yeah, I got you. I'm with you there. We are going – here are the tours that are available, and then people can go and research them themselves if you want to go with us. We are going to trip back in time, if you will. We're going to the historic triangle in Virginia in June and September. We call that it's the Colonial Williamsburg, Historic Jamestown, and Yorktown. We're going on that's a tour that we do from Sunday to Wednesday. And then we back that up back to back with Wednesday to Sunday with a tour of Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and George Washington's estate, Mount Vernon. So we do that. If you want to be with us the whole week, we'll take care of you the whole week. All you got to do is show up for these tours, people. If you can get there, we get on the bus,
yeah,
and we take care of you wall to wall for 7 days if you want to do the tours back-to-back I've just mentioned. We do that in June. We do that in September. Now, you don't have to go on both tours. You can go on one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
We have that
That's an option.
Option too. So those tours are coming up in June and September. I'll be going on that tour. Stephen McDowell will be. Our wives. We just love spending time with our listeners and seeing those sites that I just mentioned. Now, there's also an additional tour coming up in October. No, in September, right?
It was October last year, but because of the this year, the new date.
It's better weather in September in Boston.
21st to the 26th.
It's not terrible in October, but you're going to have warmer temperatures, more pleasant temperatures in September. So the Boston area tour, which includes going to Plymouth and Rock, and goes to
Freedom Trail.
The Freedom Trail in Boston and Lexington and Concord. Ooh. So that whole area, that whole Boston area, the history there is so rich, and we're going there. Wesley and Walker are leading those tours, and I guess Brother Ed here will be going. So that's a tour coming up in September. So if you want, do you want me to say so again, or have I used up my so's?
Hey, no. The Boston one, we filled up two buses with like 3 months to spare,
yeah.
So it fills up pretty quick.
These tours I've just mentioned, they do fill up 3 months in advance. So I said so again. Oh, I'm starting to annoy myself. That's bad, isn't it?
Now that's all I'm going to be able to focus on.
So, is hearing me say so?
Yeah.
Glad we don't people who drink listening to this show.
What's that?
Take a drink every time Tim says
oh.
So.
Oh.
I get it.
We don't encourage that.
No, we don't. We do not.
That's just coffee or, you know, Diet Coke or something like that.
Diet Coke.
I'm not going to say so. Right there, I need to say it. I'm feeling like I need to say it, but I'm not going to.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Refrain.
So, I did it again. Go to this website I'm about to give you for all the information, the dates, the itinerary, the cost. Everything you need to know is at this website, WILDMONGROUP.com. WILDMONGROUP.com.
Wildman Group.
Yeah, not Wild Man.
Right.
Okay, we changed our name. My grandmother did. Like almost 100 years ago. So it's WILDMONGROUP.com. Check it out for all the information there. We got about 2 minutes left. Fred, you got any good news for us? Or
good news for you.
Good news.
Let's talk about Hillary Clinton. Awesome. Non-controversial.
Oh, awesome.
You know, I missed her.
Yeah, well, here she is. She's talking yesterday to a Jewish group, and she was blaming TikTok for giving American college students bad information about what happened on October 7th, 2023 in Israel. And then we get a response from Lawrence Jones from Fox and Friends. Cut 11.
Smart, well-educated young people from our own country, from around the world, where were they getting their information? They were getting their information from social media, particularly TikTok. That is where they were learning about what happened on October 7th, what happened in the, you know, days, weeks, and months to follow. That's a serious...
Anyway, she was blaming TikTok for misinformation on what happened.
We agree with her on this.
And we agree with her on that. But Lawrence Jones came back and just said it wasn't just TikTok. It was the mainstream media. Right. It was college professors that were polluting the minds of these college students to turn against Israel.
She's pro-Israel.
She is. She is.
She and former President Clinton are, at least they're very fair about this. They're very fair. All right, we will be back in 5 minutes with Steve Paisley Jordahl. We'll see you back here then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.